Creek Drive in Stevenson, Washington. There will be a fashion show, live music, a silent auction, and dessert social. Washington Gorge Action Programs is a multi-purpose human service organization dedicated to helping individuals, families, and communities address basic human needs. Again, that's the Washington Gorge Action Programs Back to School Fundraiser, August 23rd at the Columbia Gorge Interpretive Center, 990 Rock Creek Drive in Stevenson, Washington. More information about this event can be found at KBOO.FM on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland. The time is 10 a.m. Coming up, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre, followed at 10:15 with Flashpoints, and at 11 with the Radio Zine. So keep it locked right here, 90.7 FM, your community radio.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, August 15th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. We're going to try to speak again and continue our conversation from yesterday with Sami Rasuli on the situation in Iraq and why we seem to know so much about so many other groups. The U.S. mainstream media never stops talking about Hamas, or for that matter, Hezbollah, or for that matter, the various warring parties inside Syria, where it has been basically incredibly dangerous for journalists to work for months now. And yet we know more about all this than we do about ISIS in Iraq. Come on. Come on. This got Mossad written all over it. I don't understand why they haven't awoken to this fact long, long ago. In any case, Sami Rasuli is a founder of the Muslim Peacemaker Teams in Iraq. He is an extraordinary, I guess, I don't know quite how to put it, but he sees things extremely clearly and seems to have an inside line on many of the currents in Iraq that mainstream media either refuses to report, or refuses to see. It's astonishing. Good morning, Sami, and welcome back to the KBOO Airwaves. We're so glad you could come back and continue the conversation.
Good morning to you. Good evening.
Good evening to you. Good evening to you. It's 8 p.m. there. Excuse me. Eventually, I'll get it right.
That's fine. Thank you for having me, Chris, again.
Well, we were speaking yesterday about the influence of Israel in creating the chaos in Iraq. And again, the utter, complete disregard, even bordering on contempt, for human life, the lives of Iraqis, which apparently, in Israel's calculations, are expendable in their long-term view, or their intentions of altering the balance of power in the Middle East to favor Israel's position. Can you talk more about some of these the influences that are attendant on the conditions there?
Well, first of all, Chris, we should recognize that Israel is a failed state. Israel failed for the last 60 years to create a friendly environment in the Middle East. Israel, on the contrary, created enemy states, the Arab states, all of them, no exception, despite some peace agreements were stricken here and there, but all are false and not real, because peace should be done between people, not between phony government, Bureau of Government, as Sadat, the previous head of Egypt, or the current head of Jordan, and so forth. So Israel fell to live in peace with its neighbors and had no regard for human life. See, Israel is continuing to kill civilians, women, kids in Gaza, singling out the strip of Gaza, which is little city with 1.5 million population, singling them out. They are defenseless. They don't have the means that Israel and the United States that supplying continuously for long time all kinds of technology in terms of arms and killing tools. So Israel long time decided to dismantle the Arab world and dismembering the states that it's considered enemies. And here again, I would like to shed some light on a thesis that was presented by Oded Yenin in 1982. In that thesis, Mr. Yenin described and advised the government of Israel how to deal with the Arab countries in the 80s. This is a long time ago. And he mentioned in his thesis that there is no such Arab nation. There are minorities that live in the Arab countries after its divisions, like creating the Middle East in 1916 after World War I. And at that time, the French and the British divided among themselves the Arab countries and today's statehood. So at that time, that's what happened. Division of the sixth man, which was described the Ottoman Empire at that time. Today is Turkey and the Arab world. So in result, today, we have Al-Qaeda popped up in the 70s from nowhere. I heard of it the first time I heard of it from Dick Cheney after 9/11 happened. He said Al-Qaeda. In Iraq, we go Al-Qaeda, or in the Arab language, Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda means a platform or the base where a certain political strategy or religious strategy takes off. But Osama bin Laden and his family have close ties with the Bush family and doing business, oil and construction, in both Saudi Arabia and United States. So these relationships result in creating Al-Qaeda in the 70s to drive away the USSR forces from Afghanistan when Afghanistan was occupied in the 70s by the USSR. And Bandar bin Sultan, the emir of Saudi Arabia, was for a long time, he was the Saudi ambassador in Washington, D.C. He helped the creation of Al-Qaeda. So Al-Qaeda popped up, and it was its function to occupy Afghanistan in 2001, then 2 years later, in 2003, Iraq was occupied. Yes. When Obama assumed the office, he killed, his forces killed Osama bin Laden, thrown in the sea, and the saga of Al-Qaeda done. Now we have something called ISIS, and we don't know who is ISIS. ISIS just popped up again to have, I believe, and many Iraqis believe, that its function to dismember Iraq. And those ISIS, at least 1,300 of them, they are estimated by 5,000 to 6,000 today, but 1,300 of them were trained a year ago in military camps in Jordan by the U.S. The German magazine Stern brought that up, and the ISIS consists of fighters from Chechnya, from Afghanistan, from North Africa, such as Algeria, Tunisia, Morocco, and some of them from Saudi Arabia. Young people have been misled because they are so enthusiastic to do something to reprise and revenge for what's going on in the Arab world, namely in Palestine. So they taken advantage of, exploited by Mossad and the CIA to train them, tell them, okay, go and do this in Iraq, go top of Saddam Assad regime in Syria, and kill Gaddafi and change the regime in Libya, and do that via the Islamic Brotherhood in Egypt, etc. So this is the kind of the creative cause that Condoleezza Rice in June 2006 told us about it, and why we should turn our eyes away from the fact that we are witnessing today.
Yeah, the taking a look, investigating the roots of ISIS, I think that is critical, and tracing it back to who's funding it, who organized it, who took those energies of those very frustrated, fed up young people and channeled it into this type of violence that is has been seems to me fabricated, created specifically to destroy Iraq. And then you look at the way it's reported in the mainstream media here, that this is, of course, inevitable. It's inevitable that Iraq is going to fragment into three separate countries. Well, wouldn't that be convenient? Iraq was a very strong secular, whatever anyone says about Saddam Hussein, it was still, nonetheless, a secular country and with increasing power in the Middle East, which was not by any means what AIPAC and the U.S. State Department wanted to see emerging. So I wonder, is there anywhere else where people, I know listeners will want to read anything that you have that you can direct our attention to find out more about this? Can you give us a source that you recommend?
Well, you are in the U.S., I always, when I come to the U.S., I watch Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! To get really good facts about what's going on in the Middle East and somewhere else in the world. But here, I'm in the ground in Iraq, moving from place to another across the country to witness, as firsthand witness, what's going on, and be a source of information.
So you're it. We'll have to have you back. That's all we can do. So listeners, if you want to know more about what Sami Rasuli is talking about here, then we just have Sami back on the air again. That's the best thing we can do. If you really want to know what's going on in Iraq, this is it, basically. This is the voice. Yes. This is the voice that is thank there you. On the ground. Sami, I want to thank you so much for that. We're flat out of time with this. I cannot thank you enough for joining us once again. My guest has been Sami Rasuli. He is there on the ground in Iraq reporting, and we cannot thank him enough. He is the founder of the Muslim Peacemaker Teams in Iraq. Briefly before we go, the Salish Sea is a network of coastal waterways located between the southwestern tip of British Columbia and northwestern tip of Washington State. This is going to be right smack in the way of yet another pipeline. And the Indigenous Peoples, First Nations in Canada, the Coast Salish Nations have drafted the International Treaty to Protect the Sacredness of the Salish Sea. The sacredness. The International Treaty enables Coast Salish Nations and their allies to speak with one voice regarding tankers, ports, and pipelines. That is extraordinary. And a surprise drill in New York City has the authorities scrambling to address an anthrax attack. MERS is reported to have been mutated. It is now airborne. Ebola is now being discussed as a major airborne threat to the U.S. population. These stories hit the news during the past week. All three issues highlight enhanced structured and established concerns about the possibility for airborne pandemics. And yet, here it is, not that much in the news, except in isolated hotspots. Janet Phelan is going to join us at some point next week to talk a little bit more about this. And a train carrying Bakken crude oil crashed back in December of 2013, Castleton, North Dakota. More on the type of oil. There has been lies, deceptions, cover-ups on the volatility of the oil coming out of the Bakken reserves. This has been El Cascadia for Friday, August 15th, 2014. Sam Parrish engineered the show today. Thanks for that, Sam. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Today on Flashpoints, we feature an interview by executive producer Dennis Bernstein about big oil and U.S. foreign policy in Iraq. We also feature an interview by Nora Barrows-Friedman and the Electronic Intifada about the destruction in Gaza. Finally, we continue our drumbeat coverage of events in Haiti with a reported arrest warrant being issued for former President Jean-Bertrand Aristide. I'm Kevin Pina, filling in for Dennis Bernstein. All of this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. In Berkeley, I'm Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. And we focus our attention today on oil and what is really going in terms of the oil under the grounds where the U.S. is.